Okay, ready to dive into something?
Yeah, sounds good.
This one's important for everyone, but might be especially surprising for the women listening in.
Okay, I'm all ears.
We're talking heart health, specifically for women. You might think breast cancer is the biggest threat,
Right.
but turns out heart disease is the number one killer of women in the U.S.
Wow.
And here's the kicker.
Yeah.
It's not just a concern for later in life. That foundation for heart health, good or bad, is often laid down as early as your teens and 20s.
Really?
Crazy, right? We're pulling insights today from an article from Johns Hopkins Medicine,
Okay.
aptly titled A Woman's Guide to Preventing Heart Disease.
Yeah.
So consider this your shortcut to that crucial knowledge. What are your initial thoughts on that?
Well, it's definitely eye-opening, isn't it? You'd think something so impactful would be more front and center in our health conversations, you
Yeah,
know?
for sure.
Yet so many women are caught off guard. It really underscores the need to get ahead of this, to understand the risks and how to be proactive about heart health throughout life.
Absolutely. Let's break down some of those risks. The article highlights this process called atherosclerosis. Can you explain what that is and why it should be on everyone's radar?
Sure. Think of your arteries as like the plumbing system of your body,
Okay.
carrying blood to every vital organ.
Makes sense.
Now imagine those pipes slowly developing like rust and buildup on the inside. That's essentially what atherosclerosis is, the buildup of plaque in your
Oh,
arteries.
wow.
This plaque, made up of cholesterol, fat, and other substances, narrows the arteries, making it harder for blood to flow through. And here's the concerning part. This process can begin in your teens and 20s, laying the groundwork for potential problems down the line.
Wow, I had no idea it could start that early. So, if atherosclerosis is happening silently, how do we even know if it's going on in our bodies?
That's where knowing your cholesterol numbers becomes crucial. A simple blood test can measure your total cholesterol,
Okay.
along with the different types: LDL cholesterol, the bad kind that contributes to plaque buildup,
Right.
and HDL cholesterol, the good kind that helps clear out the arteries. They'll also check your triglycerides, another type of fat found in your blood.
That makes sense. It's like getting a peek under the hood, right?
Exactly.
To see how things are running. I remember getting my cholesterol checked a few years ago. It's just a quick blood draw at the doctor's office. And honestly, having those numbers in hand felt empowering. I
Yeah.
knew where I stood and what I needed to focus on.
I'm glad to hear you had a positive experience. Getting those numbers gives you a baseline and opens up a conversation with your doctor about your individual risks. Because cholesterol is just one piece of the puzzle. Your doctor will also consider things like your family history of heart disease and other factors to paint a more complete picture of your overall risk.
So it's really about a personalized approach, understanding your unique risk factors rather than fixating on one single number.
Exactly. There are so many nuances to consider, and a good doctor will help you connect the dots and make informed decisions about your heart health.
Now, knowing those risks can feel a little daunting, but the good news is there's a lot we can do to proactively protect our hearts. The Johns Hopkins article goes into detail about lifestyle changes that can make a world of difference.
Right.
What stands out to you as the most impactful of those changes?
Well, what fascinates me is that even small adjustments can have a ripple effect on your overall heart health. For example, studies show that for every 5% of body weight you lose, you can reduce your risk of heart disease by up to 10%.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean crash dieting or extreme measures.
Right.
It's about finding sustainable ways to move more and make healthier choices that you can stick with over time.
That makes it feel much more attainable. It's not about perfection, it's about progress. Speaking of progress, quitting smoking seems like a no-brainer when it comes to heart health.
Yeah.
But can you elaborate on the specific ways smoking wreaks havoc on our cardiovascular system? I think sometimes people need that stark reality check to truly grasp the severity.
You're absolutely right. Smoking is one of the most significant yet preventable risk factors for heart disease. It's not just about lung damage, it directly harms your arteries, making them more prone to plaque buildup.
Interesting.
Imagine your arteries as flexible tubes, and the chemicals in cigarette smoke stiffen and damage those tubes, restricting blood flow. On top of that, nicotine, a key component of cigarette smoke, not only constricts your blood vessels, but also triggers the release of adrenaline, putting added strain on your heart.
Wow, I knew it was bad.
Yeah.
But that visual really drives home the point. Okay, so we've covered the importance of maintaining a healthy weight and ditching the cigarettes. What about exercise? What's the magic formula for incorporating physical activity into our lives in a way that benefits our hearts?
Well, the magic formula might be simpler than you think. Aim for at least 30 to 40 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity 4 to 5 days a week.
That sounds reasonable. What does moderate to vigorous actually mean? We're not all marathon runners here.
You're right. Think brisk walking, swimming, dancing, biking, hiking, anything that gets your heart rate up and makes you breathe a little harder.
Okay.
But you can still hold a conversation. And the best part is you can tailor it to your fitness level and preferences.
Yeah.
The key is to find activities you genuinely enjoy, so it doesn't feel like a chore.
I love that. It's not about punishing yourself. It's about finding joyful movement. Now, let's move on to food. This is where it gets interesting and sometimes confusing.
Right.
The article talks about the importance of changing the fats in our diet. Can you help us navigate the often murky world of good fats versus bad fats?
Of course. It's all about making smart swaps and understanding the roles different types of fat play in our bodies. Healthy fats, like those found in olive oil, avocados, nuts, and fatty fish, can actually lower your LDL cholesterol, the bad kind,
right,
and improve your overall heart health. Think of them as the guardians of your arteries, helping to keep them clear and flexible. On the other hand, saturated and trans fats, often found in butter, red meat, and many processed foods, can raise your LDL cholesterol and increase your risk of heart disease.
Okay, so I'm hearing olive oil over butter, avocado toast over bacon, and salmon over steak. Am I on the right track?
You're definitely getting the idea. It's not about eliminating certain foods entirely, but rather making those heart-healthy fats your go-to choices most of the time.
That makes sense. It's all about balance and making choices that support our long-term well-being. Now, what about the power of produce? How do fruits and vegetables contribute to a happy, healthy heart?
Fruits and vegetables are like nature's multivitamins, packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals that support every aspect of heart health. They're also rich in fiber, which plays a key role in lowering LDL cholesterol. And studies have shown that diets rich in produce are linked to lower blood pressure and a reduced risk of heart disease.
You know, when I first heard about soluble fiber, I thought it was just about, you know, regularity.
Right.
But learning that its cholesterol-lowering power was a game changer. Now I'm all about incorporating more fiber-rich foods into my meals. Oatmeal with berries, lentil soup, a big salad with avocado and nuts. So many delicious possibilities.
That's fantastic. It's great to hear you're embracing the power of fiber. And there are so many creative ways to incorporate more fruits and vegetables into your day beyond just the typical salad or side dish. Smoothies are a great way to sneak in extra greens, and roasted veggies can be surprisingly addictive.
Okay, last but not least, we have to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Alcohol. I think there's a lot of confusion and mixed messages out there about the relationship between alcohol and heart health. Can you shed some light on what the research actually says?
You're right. It's a complex topic. Moderate alcohol consumption, meaning no more than one drink per day for women, has been linked to some heart health benefits. However, it's crucial to emphasize that excessive alcohol intake can damage your heart, raise your blood pressure, and increase your risk of other health problems.
So moderation seems to be the key message here. It's easy to get carried away, especially in social situations. But being mindful of your intake and choosing to drink less often can make a big difference.
Exactly.
And if you're someone who chooses not to drink at all, that's perfectly fine too. There are plenty of other ways to support your heart health.
Absolutely. It's about finding a balance that works for you and supports your overall health goals. And if you have any concerns about your alcohol consumption or its potential impact on your health, it's always best to have an open conversation with your doctor.
That's such valuable advice. Now that we've unpacked those lifestyle factors, let's shift gears and talk about some of the things that might come up at the doctor's office. What are some of the most common misconceptions people have about cholesterol? And how do those misconceptions sometimes affect their overall heart health picture?
One common misconception is that cholesterol is inherently bad.
Right.
But the truth is our bodies need cholesterol to function properly.
Okay.
It's a crucial component of cell membranes, hormones, and other essential substances. The problem arises when we have too much of the wrong kind of cholesterol, that LDL cholesterol, circulating in our bloodstream.
So it's all about finding that balance.
Exactly.
Making sure the good cholesterol is doing its job of clearing out those arteries while keeping the bad cholesterol in check.
Exactly. And that's where lifestyle changes come into play. We've already talked about the power of diet and exercise.
Right.
But there are other factors to consider as well. Stress, for example, can play a role in elevating cholesterol levels.
That's interesting. I hadn't really connected stress and cholesterol before.
Yeah.
It seems like everything is connected when it comes to heart health.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Our bodies are incredibly complex and interconnected systems, and that's why it's so important to approach heart health holistically. It's not just about one single factor. It's about creating a web of healthy habits that support your overall well-being.
I love that analogy of a web.
Yeah.
It feels much more manageable than trying to overhaul your entire life overnight.
Right.
You can start with one thread, one small change, and gradually weave in more healthy habits over time.
Precisely. And it's never too late to start making those changes. Even if you haven't always made the healthiest choices, your heart has an incredible capacity for healing and resilience.
That's great.
Every positive step you take, no matter how small, is a step toward a healthier future.
While this message of empowerment resonates with me,
yeah,
I can imagine some listeners might feel a little overwhelmed by all this information.
Right.
It's a lot to digest.
Mm.
How do you suggest navigating those feelings and starting small?
Mm.
What's one tangible action someone can take today to start incorporating some of these heart-healthy habits?
That's a great point. It's easy to feel overwhelmed when faced with a big goal like improving your heart health.
Yeah.
The key is to break it down into manageable steps.
Okay.
Think about one specific area we've discussed today that resonated with you. Maybe it's adding more fruits and vegetables to your meals or incorporating a 15-minute walk into your evening routine.
Uh-huh.
Start with that one small change and make it a consistent part of your day.
I love that. Instead of focusing on the mountain, you're focusing on the next step.
Right.
And once that step becomes a habit, you can add another one. It's a much more sustainable and less daunting approach.
Exactly.
I'm curious, though. What about people who are already doing many of these things right?
Yeah.
Are there any additional tips or insights you'd offer to those who want to take their heart health to the next level?
That's a fantastic question. For those already embracing many healthy habits, I'd encourage them to delve deeper into personalized prevention. This could involve talking to their doctor about advanced lipid testing, which goes beyond standard cholesterol checks to look at particle size and other nuances that can further refine their risk assessment.
Okay.
They might also consider exploring genetic testing to uncover any predispositions they might have.
That makes sense. It's like getting a more detailed map of your individual heart health terrain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that deeper understanding, you can make even more targeted and informed decisions about your lifestyle and medical care.
Uh-huh.
It's all about empowering yourself with knowledge and working hand in hand with your healthcare provider to create a proactive plan.
Speaking of knowledge, I have a thought-provoking question for our listener, inspired by everything we've discussed today. We've been talking about heart health in a physical sense.
Right.
But what about the emotional heart? How can we cultivate heart health in a more metaphorical, emotional sense? What practices or habits can we incorporate into our lives to nurture our emotional well-being and create a sense of inner peace and resilience?
That's a profound question. It's fascinating to consider the interconnectedness between our physical and emotional health,
right,
and how they influence each other. Chronic stress, for example, can take a toll not only on our mental well-being, but also on our physical health, including our cardiovascular system.
So it's not just about what we're eating and how much we're exercising.
Right.
It's also about how we're managing stress,
mm-hmm,
nurturing our relationships, and cultivating a sense of purpose and joy in our lives.
Absolutely. Practices like mindfulness, gratitude, spending time in nature, and connecting with loved ones can have a profound impact on our emotional well-being,
mm-hmm,
which in turn can positively influence our physical health.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much, and I'm feeling really motivated to continue prioritizing my heart health in all its dimensions.
That's wonderful to hear. Remember, you don't have to make all these changes at once.
Right.
Start with one small step and build from there.
Good.
Your heart will thank you for it.
And that wraps up our deep dive into heart health for women. We've covered a lot of ground today, from understanding the risks and misconceptions to exploring practical steps for prevention, and even delving into the connection between our physical and emotional well-being. I hope you're feeling as inspired and empowered as I am.
It's been a pleasure joining you on this journey.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay heart healthy. That's such a great reminder that we're not in this alone. There are resources and support systems available to help us every step of the way.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that even healthcare professionals are constantly learning and evolving their understanding of heart health.
Right.
What might have been considered best practice a few years ago could be completely different today.
Yeah, that's true.
So stay curious, stay informed, and don't hesitate to ask your doctor questions.
I think that's the perfect note to end on. It's not about having all the answers.
Right.
It's about being open to learning and adapting as new information becomes available.
Exactly.
This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening and empowering.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a whole new understanding of heart health, and I'm excited to put this knowledge into action.
Wonderful. And remember, you don't have to make all these changes at once.
Right.
Start small, one step at a time, build from there.
Okay.
Your heart will thank you.
And that wraps up our deep dive into heart health for women. We covered a lot today, from understanding the risks and misconceptions to exploring practical steps for prevention and even delving into the connection between our physical and emotional well-being.
It's been great.
I hope you're feeling as inspired and empowered as I am.
It's been a pleasure joining you on this journey.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay heart healthy.